Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон. Trap сонсон trap донтсон. Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаан. Дадаш дуудан дур була мууруулаа. Welcome to the Stuttering John Podcast. Today, a special simulcast edition with my good buddy, my comedian friend, one of the best comics out there, legendary Adam Hunter is with me on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
Yes, what's up, John? How are you, man?
I'm good. So what happened was, for those, because I usually release my podcast on Tuesdays, I came here, where are we, Culver City?
Mid-City.
In Mid-City. So Middle Earth. No, but we're, so I came to Adam's yesterday because I also had an audition for Skittles
right. That
Adam was kind enough to shoot me on
yeah. And
submit it. It was a self-tape, which I hate because I got to find someone. I mean, everyone's working during the day. Who the hell's going to freaking be able to tape me?
Except for us.
I know. So, and plus I wanted to interview Adam because a lot of people give me shit, too much Howard Stern stuff, and I wanted to talk some comic stuff because, we have this debate I have with Royce, I have with Jason Galern, I have it with a lot of people about the state of censorship in stand-up comedy and what's too PC, is it gotten too PC? But first, because I mentioned Howard, I do have to say, we found out his big reveal of his new book.
Oh, what's that?
He had a cancer scare.
Really?
He had I could be getting it wrong, Adam.
Are you spoiling this for everybody?
No. Oh. It was in Hollywood Reporter this morning. But okay. Apparently he had like a tumor on his kidney that they had to remove. They said it was 90% cancerous.
Oh.
So in I think 2017 he took a sick day, and everyone speculated that him and Beth were having problems or it was his parents. But it turns out that he had a cancer scare. And it's weird because Howard Stern's the healthiest guy I know. I mean, this guy, he works out every day. I mean, he drinks a little bit, but he doesn't smoke. And, he's always jogging with his wife. So but it just goes to show you, man. But then his parents are like, they're like almost 100 now.
Yeah.
You know, they're still alive. But that was his big, reveal. And that's that. So that's the only Howard Stern thing I got.
Right.
And his book is out next Tuesday, and I'll do a show with Monique from Radio Gunk because she is totally, she knows all, every inside gossip about Howard and what's going on. So we'll talk to her. She had some interesting things to tell me. But I figured this week I'm going to talk to Adam Hunter. So, Adam, say hello to the Stuttering John audience.
What's up, people? How are you? I know it feels weird when you because you came here yesterday, we did it, and I fucked up the sound. I only had your audio,
because it was going so well. And we did an hour,
yeah.
And I was like, "Are we recording this?" And you're like, "Yeah." And then, I had a nervous feeling something was gonna go wrong.
So I got home last night, and the guy, my sound guy, is like, "Hey, you have no audio," and I was like, "No," because I saw after the podcast that I switched the sound off on my mic, and I'm like, oh, it was on during the podcast. Why would I do that? Well, it's okay. And then I got home last night, and I was like, no, oh my God. So then I tried to redo the podcast of just my audio and pretend I was answering you.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm here at 11:30 at night in the garage listening to the podcast, trying to talk as if listening to your, and I was getting it completely off. Like, you were laughing at the wrong time.
I didn't know. You didn't have to. Well, it just turns out that, I guess it's a fortunate coincidence is that I have another audition, near this, Mid-City area. So it was just
my wife was like, what could I do to make you feel better? And she gave me a blowjob, which was nice.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, so your fuck-up got you a blowjob?
Yeah, that was nice. That was because I was beating myself up. She's like, it's okay. You had a hard day, a lot on your mind. I'm like, God damn it. Why, how did I not put the... And then she's like, what could I do to make you feel better? Do you want a blowjob? I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no to that. And then that was good.
Oh, that's bizarre because... This morning, I woke up like in a dream with the hardest hard on in a while.
If you say my wife gave you a blowjob,
No, it wasn't. But I was I was dreaming I was making out with this Indian chick, not Native American, like the Hindu Indian, whatever.
Right.
And so then I just continue beating off to like one of my friend's wives who happens to be Indian. Because I had to keep him with the Native, with the Indian.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, but I had to. I had to bust a nut, if you will, Adam.
Is that now? What about when you see your friend's wife? Is that going to bother you? Or are you gonna
he's in Michigan, but that's only like Indian that I know.
You couldn't just watch Indian porn or Google?
No, it was spontaneous. I was already hard as a rock, and you know when you get to be 53 like me, when you have a raging heart on like that, you use it.
You can just call Travelocity and try to book a flight.
Fuck those. You know those? I hate those. I go to cheap tickets, but I try to Expedia. Those things fuck you up, man.
Nothing's worse than calling up somebody and trying to redo a book ticket or something.
Yeah.
And having them be like, "Yeah, I want to fly from Burbank to Vegas," and you're like, "You want to go to Bombay?" And then you're like, "No." And it's just like, this is like how many people could they have given this job to in America? Like. Well, probably for not that cheap, but it's just so frustrating.
I know, it really is. But anyway, so we recorded half a podcast. So we're here again, and you know, I'm not going to attempt to recreate any of the things we talked about. I do want to talk about stand-up comedy, though.
No, but we did talk about when I met you and, like, you know, your
everybody. Adam and I have been friends for a long time. Adam was on The Tonight Show as a stand-up. For two appearances, and you know, I did my best. You know, I put in a good word.
Yeah, you did absolutely.
And Adam is unlike Derek Jones over, you know, a writer at the Stern Show. You know, who has forgotten that I helped him get that job. I hate, you know, that's another thing with Hollywood. Like we were talking about it yesterday, but we'll talk about it again. Like you know, like I was mad at Joe Rogan because he didn't have me on the podcast. You know, so I put him on my hate list. But then again. Like I said yesterday, I'll say it again. Like, you know, he didn't have me on his podcast, and I was trying to promote my book. And, you know, I was, like, angry because I know Joe. I mean, you know, I see Joe at the store. And, yeah. and you know, he had Anthony Cumia on. He had Artie Lang on. I was on Celebrity Fear Factor with Joe Hostin. I mean, we have some history there. I'm friendly with his manager, Jeff Sussman. And I just, it was just weird that he, like, would say no to me.
Right.
And, like, so I was just like, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Chelsea Handler, you were saying, that was a...
Chelsea Handler was another one who was a total... Just one of those people that you help in the beginning, and then she'll shaft you. I mean, Ross Mark from The Tonight Show, he was responsible pretty much for getting her on The Tonight Show.
She was on all the time.
Yeah, as a stand-up and then as a correspondent. And then, you know, he was at a party once that, you know, that she, you know, in, like, her party and... And Chelsea Handler just turned her back to him and his wife. I mean, and ignored him. She did that. I told you, like, I had her in Tempe Improv, at the Tempe Improv on one of my tours before she was famous.
Right.
And we had a great time. She's hanging out with, you know, my wife and I backstage. And then we went out to dinner a bunch of times. And then, you know, and then when she comes on The Tonight Show, when she has her own show, just a total cunt to me. Like, just like... goofing on my stand-up, and then, you know, and then we're at Khloe Kardashian's wedding, and I'm hanging out with Scott Dipshit, or Dickshit, his name, and I'm hanging out with him, but then, you know, then we're sitting at Chelsea's table, and she ignores my wife and I, like, didn't even exist.
That's really annoying. It's ridiculous, because the people you see on the way up, and sometimes people see you on the way down, you know, and it's just... You don't want to burn those bridges. Chelsea, I met her. I booked her at Westwood, the Westwood Brewing Company. First thing she said to me, she's like, "Oh, you're so funny, this and that." Second thing, she was like, "Do you have a big penis?" That was her, like, her come on to me. And I was like, yeah. It was just kind of strange. But then she booked me on Chelsea once. And then I thought I did good. Everyone was laughing, yada, yada. And then she was like, "Yeah, he did lame one-liners, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, all right.
Oh, really? She trashed you?
Yeah.
So well, I know, like, she was... friendly with Jason Galern, who was on that tour with me at Tempe Improv. It was me, him, Chelsea, and Ross the intern, Matthews. And Jason, I think she shafted Jason now because he's not talking to her anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Heather McDonald's not talking to her anymore. I mean, she just burns bridges left and right. And that's why, like for me, like with Joe Rogan, it was just like, oh, come on, Joe. I mean, have me on for 5 minutes. I don't care. Just, like promote my book and then, you know, like call it a day. But...
Yeah, there are a lot of people like that. I mean, that's, Hollywood's filled with that. It's just like people that just, you know, you go to a party and they look at you. They look at, like, who's the most important person at the party for me to network with to get to where I want to go? And my thing is, life's too short for that. You know, people are people. We're just, we're all, I mean, whether you could help me or not in this business, if I like you because of you're a fun person, you have good character, and I want to hang out with you, I'll like you, regardless of whether or not you could help me or not. Maybe that's fucked up my career. I probably could have, like, networked better and stuff, but I just was like, man, I want to get it on my own merit and not have to, like, kiss the right people's ass. And,
yeah, well, that's the thing, and, you know, like, I thought about when I was driving here yesterday, is, like, you are the hardest working comic in show business next to Jay Leno.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you got your hands in a billion things.
Yeah,
but I guess that's the only way to survive as, like, a working comic, right?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I also have I have really bad ADHD. Yeah. So I'm like, a lot of times it's like, oh, shiny object. But stand-up has been, like, my most consistent thing. I could do comedy every night of the week, and I want to be the best comic I can be. That's always been my goal.
Yeah.
And my, you know, a lot of times I think it's backwards now. People want to get famous and then do comedy. Where I'm like, no, I want to do comedy and become famous because of my comedy.
Yeah.
You know, versus, like, becoming an Instagram success or whatever, a Vine success. And then, but,
well, see, for me, I had it. I wanted to do stand-up when I was at NYU, but I was afraid I would stutter on every joke. So then I started Howard Stern, and then I became famous at Howard Stern. And then finally I got the balls to get on stage, and then I've been doing it ever since.
Well, you've been doing really good, man. I watched you evolve from literally having, like, 1 minute of material, 2 minutes of material, to headlining.
Yeah, I know.
And it's hard when, like, people are there to see you, and they know it, and there's all this pressure of, like, you have to give them a good show. And stand-up comedy is not something, there's no cheat codes. It's like, it's one of the best things in the world why comedy is, because it's sort of like Indiana Jones, where he has to get that, like, you know, there's no pat, that like skull or whatever, whatever, I forgot which one it was. But it's so hard to make it as a comic, and most people just quit.
Yeah.
So if you actually do kind of get through all the shit that's given you, I mean, I was, you know, I had 5 callbacks for Montreal, like, 6 years in a row. And then finally I got to, like, 1 callback, and this old lady, they shipped in these old people, and who were on this, like, bingo trip from Reno to there. And I go, oh, I like old women. And this woman threw a menu at my head. And then I didn't know. I'm like,
and she hit you.
Hit me with a hard-ass improv menu. And then my head just kept getting more and more swollen, and I'm just, I tried to go back to jokes, and it just didn't work. I've had 2 TV shows that I sold to networks, and then we shot both pilots, and then both networks collapsed.
That sounds like my life.
Fuel TV and also Esquire. I've had other shows where it's like, I've had so many situations where it could have been, and then but at the same time, you know, there's a bad habit, and it's easy to fall into that victimhood of, like, oh, I just have bad luck. And it's like, fuck that. You got to make your own luck. And look, I love the actual art of comedy, and making people laugh is the most addicting thing in the world.
Yeah.
Whether it's,
but,
like,
you know, like, getting to what you were saying before is, like, because then, like, I was at Bart Reed's, the comic strip?
Comic strip, yeah.
In El Paso.
Right.
And, you know, because they booked me like a week and a half. You know, I was like last minute, because I had done it before. I did it the year prior, and I did really well, and I killed it.
Right.
And then, so this time I show up on an Amtrak, because the planes were like $600, and it was like, you know.
Wow, like an Amtrak to El Paso?
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
16 hour. When I got there, though, like, I was freezing on the train. I got sick the day I was there, and now I'm trying to, like, do 2 shows a night, and I'm like hoarse.
How much was the Amtrak?
It was only like $200, you know, round trip, but I'm hoarse, and I'm, like, sick, you know, and I'm doing my best I can, but I'm, you know, it's really hard to do when you're fucking, losing your voice.
Well, you don't recognize your own voice.
Yeah, and it's, like, and I'm like, it's just, you know, I'm cracking, and I'm hoarse, and, you know, and then I talked to my agent, yeah, you know, Bart loves you, but he said, like, you know, you weren't, your timing was off. I'm like, yeah, well, I was fucking sick. I told you that, fucking Roger.
Yeah.
My fucking agent. I'm like, yeah, I told you I was fucking sick, but then, too, like, if I would have canceled, Bart would have been pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're in a catch-22 situation. You know, you're sick, so you do it because you're a professional, but then you get, like, feedback, oh, he, you know, his timing was off. That was fucking sick.
I had that one time in, where was I? I was in Appleton, Wisconsin, and my throat was gone. So I kept ordering waters and tea to the stage.
Yeah, I was too. Set, yeah.
And they charged me like $180 for the waters at the end of the week. And I'm like I couldn't do the gig without the waters. I was like, it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I've had so. I remember I did a gig in Arizona, and I was just featuring. I was getting like $400 to feature, and I get there, and the guy was like a principal. Of a, some kind of school who ran the club, and he hated me off the bat. You've ever met these people that just hate you? You just know they hate you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, "Tomorrow night, I want you to keep it clean." I kept it as clean as I could. I get up the stage. He's like, "Man, that wasn't clean." And I killed. Like, I sold like 19 CDs, whatever. So he's like, "If I get one call complaining, you're out of here." So of course he like threw me out the next day, right? And I made out with the waitress that he liked right before I left.
Just
to really piss him off. And plus she was hot. So then I'm like driving back from Arizona. He paid me for the week. I got like $396. Took I got like $4 for a sandwich or something. And then my car breaks down. I get a flat tire.
Oh no.
And now I'm on the side of the road, and all I could see is like the moon, and I'm changing the tire by myself, and there's a sign saying Arizona State Prison, don't pick up hitchhikers.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm like, I actually need help. I was like, but yeah, that was like, and that there are so many moments where I'm just like, the fuck am I doing? I remember I flew to England, and they booked me for this gig, and they sent me like 400 emails, but confirming the gig, but eventually stopped opening them up. And as I'm getting there, I go to customs. I'm like, "Oh, I'm here for the comedy show." They're like, "Oh, you don't have your working papers." And then I'm like, "Fuck, I bet that was one of the emails," which it was. So they detained me.
Yeah.
I'm there with a bunch of like au pairs and like teen runaways, and they send me home from England. I don't get to perform, and I never got paid.
Oh.
And they were like, "Well, you didn't read the email. Don't say you're here for." I'm just like, there have been so many of those moments.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like you said with that Indiana Jones. You know, it's like you really have to want to do it to just keep doing it, you know, and dealing with like shit like that. You know, I remember we were talking about bad shows yesterday, but I had one show where I was doing like sex material, and it was a Sephardic Catholic audience who didn't understand English. And like I was wondering why nobody's laughing. It turns out they fucking went and laughed at that material anyway, and B, they fucking didn't understand the word I said.
Oh, I remember I went to Africa. I was in Djibouti, Africa, and for the troops. And they put me with this comic that was just making fun of me the whole time. This guy, little bro, you know, and he's just one of those guys who loves to argue. All I said was like, Eddie Murphy movies aren't as good as they used to be. And he's like, motherfucker, like just killing me. And he was bombing on stage. He was doing... This is like when George Bush was president. He's like, "Man, fuck George Bush." Like, to the troops.
Right? Oh, God.
And he wasn't doing his time, so I had to cover his time. And then we get through customs, and he didn't have any money, and they like robbed us in customs. They were like, "You have to pay all these fees," which is bullshit.
Yeah.
So I paid for his customs. Then we were in Bahrain before that, and we go into this like massage parlor to get massages, and it's all like transgenders, right?
Yeah.
So we ran out, but he locked me in. He's like, "Uh-huh." And then I ran out, and he's like, "Uh-huh." So we get there, and the troops are there, and he's like telling the troops in Africa, like the night before we performed, "Yeah, this guy hooked up with a bunch of trannies, yada, yada." And I just had enough.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, man, you're gay." And I'm like, "I'm gay." So I took his hat and I like put it over his head. I'm like, "Who's a bitch now?" You know? And then he tried to charge me, and I just like started wrestling again. So I hip tossed the guy on like his legs were in the air. And then I'm like, I got him on his back, and I was like, I'm like, "What? I'm gonna..." And then the troops had to separate us, right?
Oh, jeez.
So then like
the troops was like, "Who the fuck did we hire here?"
Exactly. So yeah. Then the sergeant goes, "Let me, you come here. Takes us both in this closet. And he's like, "Man, this is a peacekeeping mission. You know, you're supposed to lift our spirits." He's like, "I'm going to treat you like I treat my boys. I'm either going to take your money or I'm going to punch you in the stomach." So we're just like, punches in the stomach. This guy, Sergeant Haggerty, punches both in the stomach. But I was just so happy that I beat him up that I didn't really care.
Yeah.
The guy was like, "I deserve that." So he punches both in the stomach. And then, but that was one of those moments I'm like, "What the fuck am I doing?"
And then did you make up with little bro?
Yeah. We made up. He was nice to me throughout that. Yeah.
Do you still see him?
No.
So, yeah, but that's, you know, that's a crazy story. I always thought that I wanted to do the
military.
Yeah.
Yeah, next one I do, I'll take you.
Yeah, I would love to do it. I mean, you know.
They're great. Like, because so many times, like, especially in Hollywood, you look in the crowd and you're like, "I don't want to make these people laugh."
Yeah.
It's either other comics or just pretentious douches or whatever. But when you perform for the military people, like, you're like, "Man, these guys need a laugh."
Yeah. No, I know. I would love to do that. And are you sure you're recording?
Yes, I'm recording.
All right. Because I don't want to fucking have to. I don't have another audition tomorrow.
No.
And I got to take my youngest son for his shots.
I got in trouble at one point. I got banned from the military tours, but now I'm like back on.
Oh, okay.
Because there was a.
How do you get banned from the military?
Because there was a girl that was heckling me.
Yeah.
And she had like huge boobs and she kept yelling stuff out. I'm like, all right, Tits McGee.
Yeah.
And then everyone on base started calling her Tits McGee.
Yeah.
So then they had like a code 3 meeting about it. I'm like, there's like 3 wars going on. And you're meeting about a comic calling a girl Tits McGee. So then they said I wasn't. But then I have done like 4 since then. So it's fine.
That's so funny because a friend of mine, a writer friend of mine, Rob Young on The Tonight Show, this is one of his favorite lines I ever said. I didn't even know I was being funny by saying that. I just said, so I was at Tin Horn Flats and I see these 2 chicks. One was hot. I banged the other one.
That's funny.
But I didn't even, that's the truth.
Right.
But I banged the other one and she had big tits. And my friend Danny called her Tits McGee. I guess that's like.
Yeah, it's a little thing. It wasn't like a big thing.
Tits but, McGee.
And I was telling you, by the way, the first time I did the Tonight Show, which was like the highlight of my, I mean, like I got a picture of it.
Yeah.
I was so nervous that like my armpits, it's just sweat. And then they had to take off my shirt before I went on, and they like blue dry my armpits, my shirt. I put it back on. And I missed a button, so like if you see like people are still making fun of me, like dude, you go on Tonight Show, you can't even get your button, whatever. So that was like the first time.
And then, I didn't even notice, and I was right there. I was I was right in the audience.
And then Bill Maher was the guest.
Yeah,
and I was always been the biggest Bill Maher fan. So he was laughing, and Jay was laughing, and I was like, hey man, thanks for laughing at my jokes. And then he was like, oh, laughter's not voluntary. And I'm like, then I said something stupid. I'm like, do you still love doing stand-up comedy? Which I shouldn't have said. I'm like, why would I ask that? But I just wanted, because they told us to talk in between.
Yeah.
You know? And he goes, well, yeah. He goes, well, I wouldn't do it if I still didn't love it. He goes, it's easier when you have your own jet. And I was like, okay, I bet it is. And then Jay's like, what are you guys talking about? And he's like, when was the last time?
Hey, why are you leaving me out? What the hell are you talking about? You know what I mean?
And then he's like, Jay, when was the last time that you flew coach? He's like, oh, on a trip to China.
China, yeah. When I was in China, I had to fly coach. It was fucking awful.
So then I didn't realize that the mics were still on. I thought they turned it off when you're done talking.
Yeah.
And then there was a female singer, and I'm standing next to Bill Maher, and I'm like, wow, she's pretty hot. And you could hear it over the...
Yeah.
And then he's like inching away from me. That was...
Then I'll go ahead.
And then the second time, they told me like... they didn't even run my set. They called me like 3 hours before.
Bob and Ross?
Yeah, they were like, hey, can you get here in 3 hours to do the Tonight Show? I'm like, sure. I don't even know if my jokes have been clean enough.
Yeah.
So I stopped off at like Old Navy to buy jeans. I didn't have a clean pair of pants. And then my dad brought me a shirt. And then J-Lo was there. And she was taking everyone's attention. But I don't want to, at that point, I'm not going to say, hey, can we run my set? Because then it might raise some concern.
Yeah.
I might say, no, we don't want to. So I just go out there and I said, my opening joke was, I love Asian girls. That's why I hang out at traffic school. And then Jay knew. He's like, they're probably going to beep that joke. I'm like, oh, really? And then they lowered it. So all you heard was, I love girls. That's why I hang out at traffic. It's okay to offend all women. It's not Asian women.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, Jay has a thing. You could make fun of Asians for being smart, because that's a positive attribute,
right?
But you can't make fun of someone like a stereotype that is a negative one,
a funny one.
But just yeah, but just to talk about the armpit thing, you know, when I was a correspondent, like I'm a sweater, like I sweat a lot. They would bring 2 of the same shirts for every correspondent piece on the Tonight Show because they knew I would sweat through one of them.
Wow!
I always sweat through fucking. I don't know about you. I have that fucking
I
put 2 different. You know, antiperspirants on and deodorants just because I sweat.
That's, yeah. When I get super nervous, I was nervous about that.
Well, it's the fucking Tonight Show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, God bless you. I mean, I got my dream to be a guest on the Tonight Show, and you got yours to do stand-up on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
And that's why, like, you know, people say, like, you know, like, get on Twitter. You know, you're a loser. I'm like, you know, you can call me a loser, but I've accomplished more things than you or your family ever has.
Of course.
You know, like, think
about
it.
The fact that they're following you on Twitter... Talking about you. Like, you don't know who the fuck these people are.
No. But and I get so many haters, and that's what I'm going to get to the next thing is, which we talked about yesterday, but I'll do it today too, is, you know, like Twitter and people being, you know, PC and everything. And now I'll admit, when I heard that Louis C.K. was making jokes about the Parkland survivors, I was taken aback because that's a horrible. We just had another shooting in Denver, I think. That's horrible. Like, you know, to me, you know, I have kids, and now you have a kid. And by the way, that's another reason why we're taping at Adam's house, is because Adam has a beautiful little daughter, a 9-month-old. So it's so funny watching you as Mr. Mom now. But the thing is, I was taken, you know, I was like, fuck. Because Louis C.K. is, no offense, he's not a nice guy. He's like kind of a smug guy. He's not a dick. He's just kind of like arrogant. But I guess a guy that good can be, you know. But so I was arguing with like Jason Galern. I was, and you know, and Mike Faverman, you know, and but they were all saying, you know, he was at a stand up show, and you shouldn't judge him. Now I'm starting to agree with them. At first I wasn't, but then now I was at your, Adam does a show here in Hollywood at the Dime Bar every Tuesday night, and I was there. I was you know, mentoring a girl who, you know, wants to do stand-up, who I wanted to get in her pants, but that's besides the point. She's 28. She said I was too old, but she didn't mind taking the jokes that I wrote for her.
Oh, of course. Those weren't too old.
No. But, you know, but I was there, and you did a joke that was really funny, but I wondered if, like, if you tweeted that, you would probably get a lot of shit. Go ahead and tell the joke that you did.
I said, my baby was 3 weeks late, and I was worried the father might be black.
Yeah. So I laughed my ass off. It's funny. But people go crazy. Like, you know, I had to ask some African-American comics, because I would do a line. It was like a throwaway when I'm talking to a black guy on stage, you know, and I pretend I can't hear him, and I'll say, you know, speak up, pretend it's a movie theater.
Right.
Now I check. I go, is that, yeah. No, it's funny, they would say.
Of course.
But some people would take offense. But I always follow it. I go, don't worry, people. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm half black. At least that's what J-Lo says.
Yeah.
Because J-Lo said that when she used the N-word. She says she's Puerto Rican. She's half black.
Yeah.
So she can get away with it. But the truth is, so that's the state of comedy. Like, do you worry about doing a joke like that?
Well, I mean, I don't worry about doing jokes like that on stage, you know, because on stage we still kind of have our freedom. I've learned the hard way about tweeting stuff, because I got attacked for making fun of a transgender fighter. It was a guy that became a woman and was fighting women.
Yeah.
And didn't even disclose that it was used to be a man. Or was born a man,
yeah.
And I was just making jokes about it,
yeah.
You know, and there was jokes. I wasn't even taking a side,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was like, you're transphobic, and then the swarm of people,
yeah,
and
no,
they,
I know,
and they go after your job. They try to get you. At the time I was working for Fox Sports, and they were like, fire this guy, he's a bigot, and so a woman wrote a whole article. I'm like, dude, these are like, my theory is like everybody is equal. And if everyone's equal, then we could equally make fun of people. And there's this whole thing of like, well, you can't punch down. I'm like, who says people?
I know.
That are,
I just heard that expression.
Who says people that are gay are down, or black people are down, or Jews are down? Like, what, you're now telling people they're down? I think that's way more offensive than the joke that I'm making to make them laugh. And also, why are you the representative for all those people anyway? Like, you're offended because of you, not on behalf.
No, I agree.
On behalf of whatever. So there's a lot of problems. And also, it's like, even when I tweet now, it's almost like I think to myself, who am I going to offend versus who am I going to make laugh?
Well, see, hold on a second, because that's something that brings the New York Times and the Washington Post, like, they had a cartoon, apparently, and it was Netanyahu was a dog, and he was leading a blind Trump who was wearing a yarmulke. Now, I just thought it meant, like, that, like, Netanyahu, like, well, you know, Trump will do anything that Netanyahu tells him to do.
Right.
That's the way I looked at it. So, you know, Donald Trump Jr., who is a fucking idiot, but he texted something like, you know, he tweeted, like, you know, this is so anti-Semitic. Now, I didn't see that, and I was like, you know, and, you know, but then I go, I don't see what's so anti-Semitic. Turns out, I guess the dog is a dachshund, it's a German dog, and I don't know. Like, I was talking to some of my friends who were Jewish, and they were explaining to me why. But I didn't realize, like, because I think everyone's equal. I don't see it that way either. But, you know, this guy on Twitter was like, beat me up about it. And I go, look, I was wrong. Like, because I don't, look, the last thing I want to do is, like, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't want to piss anybody, although someone would say maybe I am because I married a Jewish woman and Toshna. But, you know, no, but you know what I mean? Like, so I don't see race or
no, of course,
or religion.
But, I mean, well, you have to see it, but
no, but like, I don't, you know, I think everyone's equal.
Of course, that's the goal. And the problem is that people are like, no, we want equal rights, but we don't want people to make fun of us. I'm like, no, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You can't say, I want to be equal, but then I'm off limits to be made fun of.
Yeah.
And that's number one. And also, two, you got to go, the Louis C.K. thing, specifically, he was not making fun of the people who died in Parkland.
No, but he was making fun of the people who survived, yeah, saying, you know, was, oh, what, I got to listen to you because you're,
they were jokes.
You pushed someone, I mean, in the way.
But they were jokes. It was a joke.
I get it. But
and also, it wasn't meant for mass people. He didn't actually, it wasn't his special. You know, he was working stuff out. He didn't know it was going to be recorded. And also, like Patrice O'Neill, who was way ahead of his time, I guess he could see all this coming. It's like bad jokes and good jokes come from the same place. For every 10 jokes I write, maybe 3 work.
Yeah.
Which means 7 don't work.
Yeah.
Which means that people might get offended on those 7 jokes. But also I've learned that is Twitter is not, and Facebook are not places to try out my jokes anymore, because
no,
it used to be a great place. I looked at it at the beginning like, this is like a focus room for jokes.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
But now people come after your jobs that you have and jobs that you may have in the future. Now I'm worried about future jobs I'm getting fired for. That's like, I'm like, it got to the point where the first big job that I get, I'm going to delete my whole account. Because I'm like, it's,
well,
because
you have guys like Mike Chernovich out there who, he's one who's responsible for getting James Gunn fired from Guardians of the Galaxy.
He follows me. Like,
Chernovich? Oh, no, he's a lunatic. But
I don't really know him.
But it's just like I told you, I do a joke I did at the Dime Bar. I just say, you know, this is, you know, I was on Tonight Show, I was on Howard Stern Show, but, you know, my career is going bad. I go, you know, put it this way, this is how bad my career is going. The other day I was in an Uber and I was driving.
It's a funny joke.
Funny joke. So I post that. First you get the people, see, you shouldn't have left Howard, man. You know, you wouldn't have to drive for Uber. And then another, and then just like you said, then the next people are.
Were you able to drive for Uber now?
Yeah. Why? No. Oh. You know, why are you making fun of Uber drivers?
Oh, yeah, it's everybody's a victim. And that's the problem, is that jokes have victims. That's every single joke you've ever, you know, heard. Usually, well, not everyone, but almost everyone has a victim. But we're trying to take the victims out of jokes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, okay, we can't make fun of people for being heavy. It can't make fun of this. Can't make fun of that. I mean, Married with Children was like the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And that would never work today, because Al Bundy making fun of the fat people at the shoe store.
Yeah.
Like, everybody would be like, "This, you're fat shaming." And this,
no, I know. Like, well, look at All in the Family. All in the Family is my favorite comedy of all time. That could never be made today.
But I hate to say it, though. It's the left. It's the far left. It's the progressive left.
It's not only the far left.
It's not only, but those are the ones.
The far right is just as bad the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see them trying to get people fired for jokes.
Oh, no, they just want to stop you from having an abortion.
Right. That's which is not right. But they're not getting you fired. But for comics, it's actually, I think it's like people getting offended are usually like these, like,
I don't know,
super progressive people.
No, like when I said about that, you know, I didn't see the anti-Semitism. I got a lot of shit from the right people, fucking, like, you know, like piling on me.
But that's probably because of where they know that you're so far left that they're like, aha, like, if you were just a regular dude that didn't see it, somebody might just be like, okay, but here's why this is that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of times there's a whole gotcha on both sides. It's, see, you're a hypocrite because you made a mistake, that, like, the right is waiting for, like, that. Like, as soon as Judd Apatow fucks up, oh, forget about it.
Yeah.
Judd Apatow was, like, caught cheating on his wife or whatever. The army of people that, of Louis C.K. supporters, of see, you, fuck you too, which is still not making anything better, you know, but it's just saying, aha, you're a fucking,
well,
you know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Twitter and Facebook are just not the places anymore. It's gotten so PC. It's like put it this way, you know, oh, and I want to just remind me to bring up Archie, All in the Family.
Yeah.
Okay. What's his face? Jordan Peele. Director Get Out and now the new one he has. I forget. But anyway, like he said that he'll only cast African-American actors.
Which is racist.
He'll only work with African-American actors. So I said, is it me or does this sound a little racist?
Yeah.
Then I got a lot of African-Americans, how dare you? He's just saying because, you know, he's only grown up with black people and he grew up in the projects, whatever. Like, I was just saying it. Like, if a white director, like,
of course, no, but you're not. You're never.
If Woody Allen said, "I'm only going to work with white people,"
you're never going to win that argument with certain people. It's just, to me, you know, like, look, I don't agree with everything Ben Shapiro says. A lot of stuff he says, I'm like, you know, but some of the things he says are right on the money. And you can't cure racism with more racism.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of what, like, Jordan Peele seems to be trying to do. It's like, we got so fucked up in the past, which no one's denying that. And it's horrible. And it's maybe not necessarily him, but it's, you know, people that he's related to, whatever. So we're going to try to undo that by being racist too. And it's no, like we at a certain point, we have to just stop this and just be like, okay, can we just like see things with a different filter now?
Well, that's, and you know what? That's the thing that, and I have a serious problem with this, and I don't care, you know, you call me a racist if you want, but when they were protesting the Academy Awards because not enough African Americans were getting nominated. Now, like, first of all, Denzel won, Halle Berry won. I mean, there have been a lot of African-American actors who have won. Morgan Freeman, I think, won. But I just think if you start going, well, wait, we have to nominate black people because we have to have black people nominated, else we look racist. Then, you know, when's an Asian guy going to start complaining?
Of course.
When's a Danish guy going to start complaining?
Actually, Jordan Peterson, that's his whole argument. It's like, you're just going to keep, it's just going to keep going and keep going, keep going. I'm going to pause this for 1 second because I got to let my baby back in.
Okay. On?
Yeah, it's on.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, Adam's got to go.
Hey, are you here?
Adam's got to let his babysitter in, but I said we'll just continue to go. Okay. You know, so we talked about that. So now I get, you know, I get the sensitivity that people have. And I just, you know, I just think that we're getting a little too PC. And that's for me. And I'm you know, like, I'm not trying to piss anybody off at all. But let's just talk about Archie. Now, not Archie Bunker. The fucking Prince Harry, who, by the way, looks like Archie from Riverdale, names his son Archie. What, was Bob taken? I mean, what the fuck? Archie? King Archie? Now, I guess if it's King Arthur, but I think his legal name is Archie. Archie Harrison. Harrison, I get, because it's son of Harry. But isn't that redundant? We know it's Harry's son. But Archie Harrison. And I'm not wanting to get into the whole royal fucking shit. In fact, it bores the shit out of me. Although Pippa freaking looked great at that wedding at William and Kate's wedding. Pippa's butt looked unbelievable. But you know, oh, that's sexist. See? Anything you say. But, you know, I'm not into the whole royal thing. But Archie? Prince Archie? Archie? Oh, Archie? Archie? Anyway, I'll get Adam's take on the new prince. Another problem I have with... I don't know if you're going to call it censorship. Now, we're about a stone's throw away from Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is trying to pass a law that smoking, that they can't sell. Here's another fucking bigoted thing. They can't sell tobacco in Beverly Hills. They're trying to ban the sale of tobacco, yet allow the sale of cigars at cigar lounges. So in other words, you rich people... They're not going to fuck you over. It's the white trash who's buying the Newports, you know, and the fucking, you know, the Marlboro Lights out there. That's who we're going to fuck with. Now, the problem is, Adam, those stores in Beverly Hills, you know, they also sell, like, people go there for smokes. They're also buying beer. They're buying, like, you know, fucking frozen pizza.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
So now they're going to lose all that money. So I just think the government gets too involved in
that. Let people do what they want.
Yeah,
you could say secondhand smoke is hurting other people, but...
Yeah, but if they're just going to go down to you know, what is this, Middle Earth, Mid-City?
Yeah.
They're just going to go here and buy that tobacco.
Yeah.
So they're taking away the business. Now, the other thing I was talking about, you know, while you were gone is, I don't know if you heard, this is the new news, you know, today. We had two new news. Howard Stern's shocking revelation that he was scared of having cancer.
Right.
Which, by the way, you know, I told you yesterday, like... Now that like Howard had the scare of being cancer,
it makes the whole thing with Scott.
Yeah, know, yeah. How could he not help Scott, the engineer's wife, when she needed money to pay for chemo? It's beyond me. And we talked about this yesterday, and you were talking about, you know, he's in therapy every day. Well, it ain't working. He doesn't help Scott, the engineer. It drives me crazy, Adam. And I pointed that out.
I would love to hear his, you know,
his thought. I talked to Scott, the engineer, personally. I said, Scott, Howard didn't give you a dime. He goes, not a red cent. Scott told me that. And then Scott got like demoted when he did his GoFundMe page. It's really, really horrible.
So he's off the show, Scott?
Yeah, he's like a serious employee, not a Howard Stern employee, but he was written out of every script.
Wow.
That's what Scott told me. But getting back to the Archie is the new Prince's kid's name.
Archie?
Archie. I mean, what was Bob taken?
What was Jughead not around?
Yeah, Jughead not around. That's
ridiculous.
Yeah. I just got done saying that Prince Harry looks like Archie from Riverdale.
Wow, he does kind of.
Yeah.
Archie, wow.
I guess Moose was taken.
That's ridiculous.
I know. Wow. Prince Archie. And I don't think it's like, you know, Arthur. I don't think it's like King Arthur. I think it's like the legal name is Archie.
Wow.
It's making like fucking Northwest sound legitimate.
Yeah, that's funny. Chicago. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that you tell me your wife actually thought of the Kardashians.
Yeah, that's
your ex-wife.
God's honest truth. Like I said, you know, and people, it's in my book, which was number one bestseller on in general broadcasting on Amazon for over a month. Howard was number one when he announced his release for like a day, then it went down to like 200. It'll be number one
again.
Are
you still resentful towards Howard? I feel like you're still resentful towards Howard.
Me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm resentful. I am just you know, when I left, like, he beat me up so much on the air and, like, called me, like, everything in the book. And then, you know, and then the way they handled us, like, when we were there. I mean, I'm grateful to the guy. That's why, like, you know, I'm not, like, I don't want to trash him. But when I hear about stories like Scott the Engineer, that kind of makes me
resentful.
You
guys were, like, best friends.
Yeah, no, look, if I saw Howard on the street, I'd give him a hug. I mean, I'm so grateful to him. I don't dislike the guy. I think that he handles his people wrong, and I think that the new Howard is even worse.
I don't understand. Like
you can't approach him in the hallway.
That's crazy. Well,
I mean, like a David Letterman move.
I mean, why do you think that is?
Because Marcy Turk is Howard's one of those people. He like is a disciple of people. Like he worships people. You know, like, you know, TM, transcendental, you know, meditation, and Dr. Sarno, healing back pain. Like, he gets into like people worship, especially with women like Fran Shay from E, and now this girl Yoko Turco, you know, Marcy Turk. Like, she is about getting things done, and she wants Howard to not be able to like communicate with the commoners, you know.
Wow.
You know, meanwhile she banged two of the staff members already, you know.
Who'd she bang?
Steve Brandano, and then this guy Ben Berto, who she married, or Ben Bardo. Sounds like a fucking game show host.
Wow.
But anyway, I don't resent Howard. I just, like, the only reason I brought it up about him being number one is like, it's pretty impressive for me to be number one for over a month. That's all. I was just patting myself on the back.
Of course you are. It's just crazy.
Damn you, Joe Rogan. Put me on your podcast. Keep my sales going.
I mean, I'm still a fan. That show, you know, a lot of times what makes me laugh is like the news is still funny. And then Sal and Richard, they kill me with the Tradio and the swap shop.
Oh, yeah.
Those prank calls are like, that was really funny.
Well, I hear that half of them are faked, you know.
Really?
Yeah. That's the gossip that they, you know, that they're all set up.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm telling you, somebody was telling me on my podcast that you could tell, like, that they're, you know, that they edit and do things, whatever. I don't know.
That would suck.
I know, but getting back to the Kardashian, just real briefly, I was friends with Bruce Jenner on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Then when I moved to Calabasas, he was there. My wife ran into him. And then we started hanging out with the Kardashians. And then, you know, and then, like, on Sundays, Chris would make dinner. Chris always wanted to be famous. She was a fame whore to begin with, which is why I totally believe that she banged OJ. I think.
Really?
I think Khloe is OJ's kid. I totally do. But anyway, you know, she was there. You know, we were all there. My wife and I, our kids, their kids. And then Susanna's like, Chris, you know, this is your show. You should do a reality show with like, you and the family all in the house and, you know, and your friends come over, whatever. And then Susanna was going over there and was writing the treatment with Chris. And then the girl that cast us on Number Somebody Get Mad, her, Dina Katz, was also friends, and she knew they were working on the show. Ryan Seacrest calls her, asking her if she knows any shows that he could produce. And she goes, hell yeah, how about Chris Jenner's? And then they just...
Oh, my God.
And they wrote Susanna out of it. And I said to my wife, I'm like, Susanna, fucking sue her at least. Like, you have a paper trail of all these treatments. She goes, nah, I'll let the universe fucking take care of it. Yeah, okay, Susanna. God. So now they're billionaires, and I'm working the Chuckle Hut for $2,000 a fucking night. I mean, a weekend.
Hey, a lot of people would like to work that Chuckle Hut.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's just, it's Chris, I mean, she's a nice person up front, but again, that's kind of despicable. And then she would give us, like, her furniture that she didn't want anymore. I think it was kind of like guilt. Susanna said she finally confronted her.
Really?
Oh, I didn't tell you this. Because I said, you know, so they went for a walk. They went on a hike or something. And Susanna said, I've always been a little mad that you didn't include me when we were writing a show together. And then Chris said, oh, well, Kim had the idea too.
Oh, come on.
I know. It's so lame. And they're billionaires.
But, like, you look at that show, everybody that comes in contact with them either becomes, like, a crackhead or goes to a mental hospital.
Well, Artie Lang had a great joke.
A woman. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, that's what Artie Lang's joke was, which I thought was really funny. He said, like, what happened? Lamar and Bruce are, like, hanging out in the kitchen at, like, you know, 1 in the morning and... You know, and they're lamenting about the Kardashians, and Lamar was like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become a crack addict. And then Bruce looks at me and goes, well, you don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Wait till you see what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I know. I have a similar joke. I go,
oh, do you?
I go, that's an Olympian move right there, you know? And people are like, he's a hero. I'm like, Superman and Batman were heroes. She's an X-Men or
yeah.
Fucking Decepticon. A Transformer.
Before we knew he was transgender, I would do a joke, and you know when he was like when they with rumors that he got his Adam's apple, taken out, and I did a joke saying, "What happened to Bruce? He went from being on the cover of Wheaties to Fruit Loops."
Right
now, like 2 weeks after I did the joke, he became a meme.
Oh, really?
And then I did one a long time ago on like TV, a bunch. I did a couple times on TV, like years ago when Kim and Kanye were first dating, and I said, you know, Kim has that giant ass, but enough about Kanye.
That's funny.
Became a meme.
Hmm.
And now, like, when I do it, like, it's like, it looks like Amir Kay told me the same thing happened to him. He did, you know Amir Kay, right? He's a great comic. He's a good guy. He does a joke where he would take a girl that he banged, like one night stand. He'd take it to Starbucks the next day just so he could find out, you know, what her name was.
Yeah.
You know, because they put the name in the cup.
Right.
He said he did that, and then, like, someone made a meme or something out of it, It ruined the joke for him.
Of course, yeah.
Because that happens.
That happened to me a couple times too.
Which is why I'm always like, you know, I question, you know, why do you put your stuff on?
A lot of times I do it because.
Oh crap, man! I gotta get going soon.
A lot of times I'll do it because that way people will know that I came up with it as like a way to copyright it.
Yeah, I guess so. And it happens to me a lot. Like you know, people even say to me like on Twitter when I tweet a joke. Hey, you know, or Facebook, I'm stealing that, John. You know, John, I'm stealing that.
Fuck that.
You know, like I wrote like, I don't know, 5 to 10 new jokes. I did Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. And like, and I was writing them as I was going there. I was, you know, and I just like, and I reeled them off. And, you know, but you know, like.
How's your life changed, by the way, since the Trump thing? Ranking the Trump?
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I mean, it got me, fuck, I got like over 400,000 downloads in just one, like in 2 days from that. And. You know, and I got like worldwide, you know, fame again. It was like there's like three pillars of fame for me now. It was the Howard Stern Show's one pillar, the Tonight Show's another, and then fucking the Donald Trump prank phone call. I mean, I wish it translated to
dollars.
To dollars, but it hasn't, which is why the Secret Service has no chance of arresting me because I didn't use it. I didn't do it for monetary value. That's the law. Look, I just got to go to this audition. It's for some fucking. I think it's like an infomercial or something, but
well, kill it, man!
But
you're getting a lot of auditions.
What
you're getting? That's 2 in 2 days.
2 in 2 days, but then it'll go. It'll drought out. But you know what? Like I didn't have time. I had to go to my son's Renaissance fair today.
Yeah.
And, you know my youngest son's, and I fucking like I would have went to the fucking glazing place. I get my hair it's like the less effeminate version of dyeing your hair.
Right.
It's just like a rinse.
Yeah.
And this audition, they want brown eyes and dark hair, and my hair's fucking looking all gray.
Nah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a little brown left in it. Anyway, look, Adam Hunter, plug what you're going to be on.
Yes. So you can listen to my podcast, MMA Roasted. Also, I'm on this new platform called The Rockfin, ROKFIN/ Adam Hunter. Next week, I will be at the Gotham Comedy Club on Thursday night, and then Friday and Saturday.
In Manhattan,
Friday and Saturday at the West Side Comedy Club, Ventura Harbor Comedy Club the following week. In June, I'm in Calgary at the Comedy Cave, as well as the Minnesota House of Comedy. July 4th weekend, I'm at the Stratosphere, and I'm at the Off the Hook Comedy Club in mid-July.
And everybody's listening, just to show what a hustler, Adam. Adam, you booked all those on your own.
All on my own.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
and let me ask, before you go, because you're wearing that Sylvester Stallone t-shirt, and that's his mugshot.
Yeah.
What did he get arrested for?
No, that was in Rambo.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the John J. Rambo at the bottom. Yeah. Oh, because I was thinking, what the hell did Sylvester Stallone get arrested for?
That was Rambo.
Besides bad acting.
Was he a nice guy? You met him or no?
What?
Was he a nice guy?
He's a great guy. And let's face it, his story, I'll end with this. His story about Rocky was amazing. You know that he wrote that script in 2.5 days, and the studios offered him like $1 million to buy the script, but they wanted someone else to play Balboa. I had to say Balboa because I wasn't going to be able to spit out the R. But so he stood his ground and said no, and then finally they succumbed and you know, let him star in his own movie. He said, "I'm the only one who could play this role."
That's awesome.
I mean, so you know, that's awesome that he stood his ground. I admire that. Anyway, the Stuttering John podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Stuttering John M. And thank you, Adam Hunter, for coming on.
Thank you.
And I'll be in. I'll be at the Black Box in Boca. Insert joke there. In June 27th, June 28th, and I'll be in Arkansas, I think at the Globe Theater or something, July, I think, 12th and 13th. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Stuttering John saying, Traps, sons, and trap, don't. Tunis, sons, to hook, jim, dirt, but land. Tavish, dirt, and dirt, but a bottle,